The following audio is the weekly message podcast from Vaughn Forest Church, Montgomery, Alabama. To learn more about Vaughn Forest Church, visit us online at vaughnforest.com.
Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I just want to make a plug for small groups, for life groups. Life-changing things happen in a small group. I've learned more about the body of Christ, not in our corporate worship, not knocking corporate worship. We need this time to come together and to worship and to hear the Word of God, to be equipped. But in our small groups, you start doing life with people. And in our small groups, you know what? We can take our mask off and just be who we really are. And we find out that people love us. Sin and everything. And I've learned something about my life that I can't change myself. And I can't change anybody else. Only Jesus can. He's still in the business of changing lives. And in our small groups, we get to share truth with each other. We get to walk through life with each other. And as we walk through life and as we hold each other to a standard of what the Word of God says, we see God change us together, and it's a beautiful thing. So if you're not involved in a small group, I highly, highly recommend it. And so if you don't become part of the small group, I'm just going to pray you don't get any sleep until you do, okay? All right. Would I do that? Nah, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, I would. How many of you are busy? Raise your hand if you're busy. I thought when I got my 50s that my life would start slowing down. And I am busier today than I've ever been. I mean, I'm a dad, I'm a granddad, I'm a husband. I'm the president and founder of a missionary organization that's working in Nepal and in Cuba. I'm an interim pastor. I'm a small group leader. I got a lot of hats. A lot of things going on, a lot of busyness, a lot of schedule going on. And I find out that, you know what, the busier I get, I struggle with this one thing. Do you struggle with waiting? Am I the only one that struggles with waiting? No, okay. I got one honest person in here. It's awesome. You know what? I hate to wait. I love Chick-fil-A. Oh, Dad loves him some waffle fries, okay? And you don't ever have to ask me what size waffle fry I want. I just want the big one, okay? Just give me the big waffle fry. But you know what? I don't like waiting for my waffle fries, especially when I'm hungry and when I'm busy or when I got somewhere to go. And why is it that when you're late or running real tight on your schedule that you always get behind the slow people in traffic? Okay? That's why I got a Fraser sticker on my car. That's why I do. I don't really. I got a Church of the Highlands sticker, so... We're going to look at something today and talk about a word that, you know what, we really don't like to talk about, and it's the word patience. So when you think about the word patience, we've got to filter it through where does patience come from? Patience isn't something that we learn. Patience is supernatural. You know, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. No, patience is a lifelong process of when we abide in Christ. When the power of the living God is flowing in us and through us, our lives start producing what we call the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Patience in our lives is proof that the power of the living God is flowing in us and out of us. And it's not a testimony of us. It's always a testimony that points to Christ, that the power of the living God is in us and through us. And so today we're almost through with the book of James. Can you believe it? It's taken us a while, but we've been plowing through this book. I hope the Lord is speaking to you the way he's been speaking to me through the study of this. Let's look at James chapter 5, and let's read verses 7 through 12. And I've got a cold today, so it sort of feels like I'm in a fish barrel right now. So if you can't hear me, scream and tell me to speak louder. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. We've gone through this study of James, and man, we've covered just a boatload of topics. What a bondservant of Christ looks like. That our will, our lives, our passion. Last week we talked about our resources, our finances. Everything that we have is swallowed up in the will of Christ. We willingly said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And my will is swallowed up in your will. I want the rest of my life, when people see me, see Christ. I want my life, you should want your life to point to Christ in all that we do. And so we continue this, and it starts off with being patient. Anybody got small kids? Yeah. How does that work with patience with those small kids? I remember when my kids were small, Trudy worked part-time, but she worked all day Friday. And Friday was my off day. So I had the kids all to myself on Friday. And she would come home every Friday at 5 o'clock. And I never thought 5 o'clock would get there. I mean, it was like from 12 to 5, it seemed like I was waiting on Christmas. You know, I mean, it was just, and those my kids, Kelsey and Jake, I think they were getting paid by how many questions they asked me. Daddy, 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 daddy. You know what? Daddy has left the building, okay? Wasn't real patient. And when we start talking about patience, patient doing what? And patient with who? I know when I read this, I'm like, Lord, I'm not the most patient person in the world, and I want to be patient. I want to rest in you. In the busyness of life, to take a deep breath and to be still and know that he is God. Job says, there's three words when I read this passage. He talks about waiting, he talks about enduring, and he talks about bearing, getting up underneath the weight of something. And the scripture talks, when we're patient, we're to be people who wait. The scripture says, those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength, they'll mount up with wings of eagles, they'll run and not grow weary, they'll walk and not faint. There's the old song that adds, teach me, Lord, to wait. To wait on the Lord. And when we wait and when we look at this passage in James, we tend to think about waiting on as we're going through the circumstances of life. And that is part of patience. But in the context of what we've been studying in James, it's talking about waiting on God to move in the lives of people. How patient are you with people? How patient are you with the process of sanctification that's happening in other people's lives? I want God to be real patient with me. I want Him to be very, 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 very long-suffering with me. But I want my kids to get it just like that. I want my grandkids to get it just like that. And I'm not patient with the process. I'm not patient with them the way He is with me. I don't want to wait. And our world today is not a world of waiting. It's a world of instant gratification. It's a world of everything is fast. And just the internet, it's awesome. And you want to see how spoiled we are? Go to a different country where the internet's slow. Go to India. And it's like, the internet can't be slow in India, not in the IT departments. It's not. Some of them are on 256K connections still, you know? They still got the AOL, you know, that little tone. Drive you nuts. Be patient. We've got to be good at waiting. Waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord's timing, waiting on God to move. And we keep praying, and we keep loving, and we keep holding to a standard of truth until God moves in somebody's life. Wait. Endure. When we talk about patiently enduring, it is a long-suffering. Endurance sports, marathons, triathlons. This is going to surprise a lot of you, okay? But I used to be real big into triathlon. I did. I loved it. You know, I was an average swimmer. They called me the diesel on the bike. People loved to draft behind me. It was like, man, drafting behind a piece of plywood. You know, I'd just suck them in and just go down the road. I loved to bike. And I was a terrible runner. I was built for going downhill on roller skates, you know? But when you think of enduring, long suffering, you think of endurance athletes. You think of the triathlon, you think of the marathon. I remember I ran a marathon, and heavy emphasis on a marathon. And 10 days before I ran my race, I totaled up my training. I had put in over 1,000 miles to prepare for this marathon. Why I was doing a marathon, I don't know. Because I've never seen anybody running and look happy. I mean, I just hadn't. 10 days before my race, I tear my meniscus. And Trudy's like, let's just, it was in New Orleans. Trudy said, let's just go down to New Orleans. We've already got the room booked. Let's just go down there, eat some good food, listen to some great music, and get powdered sugar all over from eating beignets. I'm like, nope, I'm running the race. And she's like, you can't. She ought to know me better. Don't tell me I can't, because I'll prove you wrong. And so I set out to do my race. I said, you know what? I'm just going to throttle back. And I had a goal. I was going to run a sub-4 marathon. All my training, I'm like, it's just going to hurt for 4 hours. Just going to hurt. So I made the first 3 miles, and I just, you know, kept staying in my pace. I felt good. Mile 6, I'm like, this wasn't a good idea. In mile 13, I came to 13.1 miles, and I had to make a decision. I could go right and end with the people that were doing the half marathon, or I could go left and run another 13.1 miles. Right there, where I had to make a decision, were two people, my son and my daughter. And I told them, since they could understand words, a McFarland doesn't quit. I hate the day I asked them to come to this race. Everything in me wanted to go right and just said, you know what, you did a half marathon on a torn meniscus. But I went left. And it hurt. And it hurt bad. And I just kept going. And I just kept going. And I just kept going. Because I had a goal. I had a plan. I was going to finish that marathon if my leg fell off. I was going to finish it. And then I was going to eat some beignets. And I finished the race. And you know what I got? Knee surgery and a medal. That's all I got. In life, you know what? Life is hard. And life is difficult. And life, if you were just by yourself, if everybody was like you, life would still be difficult. But then you throw people in the mix. You throw different personalities. You throw different ages. You throw different seasons of life. You throw the war of us going through the Christian life. And it's difficult. And we come through life and man, we're hurting. And it makes sense just to go right and cruise on in and don't finish the race. But something has to click and happen in all of us that, you know what, we value the prize. That nothing, absolutely nothing, is going to hinder us from stopping. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is going to make us quit. Not through life circumstances. And as followers of Christ, as people who have experienced the patience of Jesus, as followers of Christ, absolutely nothing can make us give up on one another. Well, they messed up again. Yep, pull them out of the ditch and keep going. Trudy and I have done a lot of ministry with addiction issues. Relapse is just part of dealing with addiction. And when somebody relapses with addiction issues, and listen, everybody take a deep breath. Everybody that just took a deep breath has some type of addiction. It might not be drug or alcohol, but it could be sex. It could be codependency. It could be control. It can be stuff, materialism. It can be a lot of different things. And when we're patient with one another, when we suffer long with one another, we find out, you know what, we're helping people out of the ditch. And it's a good thing to help people out of the ditch, because you know why? Because sooner or later, all of us will end up in a ditch. And we need help out. Wait, endure, and bear. Get up underneath the weight. Be patient. Get up underneath the weight. Be patient as the weight of this life is going through. You know what? Realizing that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We wait. And so James, he talks about three people in this passage. He talks about be patient like a farmer. Do you know what it takes? The patience you got to have to get microwave popcorn? I like my kettle corn. Microwave kettle corn is awesome. It's a gift of God. Soil preparation, plowing, fertilization, planting the seeds, watering, weeding, all this work that goes in one kernel of corn and it produces heads of corn with a lot of seed, with a lot of grain on it. It's a patient process. It doesn't happen overnight. And we have to learn to be patient like a farmer's patient. And a farmer doesn't just wait. A farmer waits expectantly. He's waiting with the anticipation that he's about to reap a harvest. He's waiting knowing that the principles of biology, that I planted this seed and it will produce fruit if I put it in the right environment. He's waiting with an expectation that he's going to get fruit. And we have to wait with each other, expecting the Lord to move, that there's going to be fruit in that person's life. Amen? Are y'all awake? Come on. Got to wait. Wait like a farmer. He said, wait like a prophet. Wait like the prophet. You remember Jeremiah? You remember what Jeremiah was called? He was called the weeping prophet. He spoke the word of God. He spoke the word of God. He spoke the word of God. And he just had to keep speaking the word of God. And then he said, wait like Job. Tim Hawkins, he nailed Job's wife, didn't he? It was pretty funny. I remember my mom saying, we need to have the patience of Job. Lost everything, and he just waited. But think about how patient Job was with his wife. Think about how patient Job was with his friends. He was patient. Let's look at verses 9 through 11. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Point number 2 is don't grumble. We can't grumble. And there's times that we grumble about life, we grumble about circumstances. But people, we can't grumble about other people. The scripture says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And griping and complaining and grumbling is anti-praise. It's an affront to a holy God. Because when we're griping and when we're complaining, we have lost perspective. We've lost perspective because what's happened is we're griping and complaining. Life isn't how I want it to go. And we've placed ourselves at the center of the universe saying, my will be done. And we're no longer bondservants. Swallowed up in the will of Christ, we're saying, no, I want my way. I want my timing. I want it now. And I want you to just get it. I'm tired of telling you this same thing over and over and over again. Let me ask you a question. Think about the sin that you struggle with. How many times have you asked Jesus to forgive you of that sin? My daughter was 6 years old. She liked mixing colors. And she liked mixing her fingernail polish to make cool colors. So we had a rule. She could only mix fingernail polish and play with her fingernail polish when her mom was with her. Trudy was at the store. I was mowing the grass. I come in to get some water, and I smell fingernail polish remover. So I'm looking around. I go in a room, and there in her room is a garbage can turned upside down on the carpet. So I pick up said garbage can, and there on the beige carpet is a wad, just a big smudge of hot pink fingernail polish. So she did what any brilliant six-year-old would do. She just put a garbage can on top of it. They'll never see it, you know? It's a great plan. For the rest of her life, we'll just walk around it, and, you know, nobody will ever notice the garbage can turned upside down on the carpet. I was not happy. And so I had made a commitment. Me and Trudy had made a commitment. We're not going to discipline our children when I'm angry. So I went in the backyard, and I believe in deep breathing, you know. All right, just 10 deep breaths. Well, I about hyperventilated. I was taking so many breaths. I just wasn't relaxing, you know. And I was like, that pagan is going to get it. She knew the rule. She broke the rule. And then she had the nerve to try and cover it up. And because she tried to cover it up, the fingernail polish is drying, and I'm going to have to replace the carpet. She's getting it. And I hear the still small voice of God say, no, she's not. Because if she gets it, you get it. And I'm like, well, what about the carpet? If she gets it, you get it. Because, Jeff, you know the rules. You know those rules. And you break them. And then instead of confessing those sins, you try and cover it up. And we can cover up our sin with a lot of activity, okay? But we cover it up. And sin was never been meant to cover up. It was meant to be exposed, to be brought to the light. And when it's brought to the light, we can deal with it. But when it's covered up, man, it just causes greater pain. Every time I see pink fingernail polish, I think of that day. I think about patience. Being patient with others as God is patient with us. Yes, we still hold each other to the standard of what the Word of God says, but we are patient. We don't grumble. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my rock, my Redeemer. What I speak about other people, I pray that they're pleasing to God. What you speak about other people, I'm not talking about the laws. I'm talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ, because the Word of God says the lost will know that we're His by our love for one another. And if we're grumbling and complaining against one another, do they know we're His? Last point is this. Verse 12 says, above all, it's a place of importance here. It says, above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. A bondservant of Christ should live their lives with such passion, with such conviction, with such integrity. The fruit of the Spirit is evident, and you don't have to say, I swear to this, or I promise to this. Trudy and I lived in the inner city for 8 years, and we had an inner city ministry, and you would ask a kid in the inner city how they're doing in school, and it's like, and this was what they used to say to really, really say, I mean what I say. I swear by my mama. I swear by my mama I passed that test, Mr. Jeff. I'm like, no, you don't have to swear by anything. We live our lives with such integrity that all we have to say is somebody asks us a question is yes. Yes or no. We need no more words. What comes out of our mouths, what the way we speak, is a perfect picture of the condition of our hearts. It's all through the book of James. when we pay, when we're patient, it's showing. When we're speaking encouragement, when we could be very easily be impatient. When we're speaking life, when we're speaking encouragement, when we're speaking truth, what the Word of God says. When we're waiting patiently for people who just aren't getting it, the way God's waited patiently for us. It's showing that the Holy Spirit has empowered us. And we're living our lives not by our own strength, but by the strength of the Holy Spirit. And a mouth that glorifies God is a true sign of what a bondservant looks like. Father, help us to be the men and women of God you've called us to be. I pray, Jesus, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart would be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to teach us what it means to abide in you, Jesus. I pray that the fruit of the Spirit would be evident in our lives, not just in this building we call church, but as we leave this building as your church, I pray the fruit of the Spirit would be evident in our lives at home. I pray it'd be evident as we drive. I pray that it'd be evident as we go to school, as we wait in line at Chick-fil-A, as we go about life. I pray we'd be patient with others, Lord, just the way you're patient with us. Guard our speech. Speak to us, Lord. And I pray that today we won't just be hearers of the word. I pray that we'll be doers. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song. You want to come to this altar and pray and ask God to help you with your patience, help you with abiding in him. You come to this altar, you pray. Chad and I, the staff, we're down here. If you have anybody you want to pray with, we'd love to pray with you. God bless you.